السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll continue in أسماء الله الحسنى. And inshallah, we'll start today by differently. I'm not going to tell you the name. I'll tell you a little bit later on, inshallah. We usually start by saying the names and then try to have the definition of it. And then afterwards, we try to, you know, reflect and how it means to us and what it means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so forth. So imagine an example, and of course walillahi mathalul a'la. You are a teacher and you're teaching in a school and you're teaching lessons and you have students and you are very good in what you're doing. You give the students an idea at the beginning of what this is going to be about. And then you go into give them the books. You go into give them the rules. You're going to give them what you expect from them and so forth. Until the end of the year, and you're going to teach every lesson clearly. And you're going to make sure that, you know, that it's everything is explained properly and so forth. And then at the end of the year, you test them and you find some who are failing and some who are passing. And you give this one a failing grade and you give this one a passing grade. That is justice. That is adl. Okay? That's adl. You already beforehand told them what is being expected from them. You give them the tools that they need. You explain everything to them. At the end, there's some fails and some passed. But then there is another teacher who will have some quizzes every once in a while. And then he will get to know the students and they will be those who are failing, he will investigate with them a little bit, find out their weak points, then helps them to understand the point that they were failing in. Some students might be careless. You might be smart, but careless. So you need to maybe develop some kind of a punishing system so they will not be as careless. Point being is, teacher number two went through an extra activities to make sure to take care of each one and work with each one because he's dealing with them not just with justice, but dealing with them with care, with love, with compassion. He wants them to understand, and he wants them to pass and get good grade. So he did not leave it completely up to them, but he kept checking on them on and on and on. Imagine that you're giving your son some wealth, $50,000. Say, this is it, and go, you know, that's all I'm going to give you, and go on and you know, use this as a capital, and go do whatever it is that you, you know, you're an adult and sort of adult, and go ahead. And then you see them, you know, a couple of years later, or after a couple of years, you check on him, and the whole money is gone. Versus that you say, I'm going to give you this much, but I'm going to give it to you a little by little and see how he's going to deal with the money how he's going to be responsible or spend, and how you're going to advise here and there. By the end of the couple of years, you'll have someone who is capable of dealing with money. You taught him, and now you can say, okay, now you can, here is the rest, and go on and be more of an independent person or person who is a grown-up. The attribute that we, inshallah, talking about today is at-tawwab. At-tawwab, okay? And the word tawwab, we understand it from tawbah, meaning repentance, okay? But we say taba in Arabic, meaning it has the meaning of ja'a, also, come back, or ata, okay? Going or coming, rather than going, coming. Okay, so taba is coming back, or keep on coming. Because tawab is an exaggeration form of the word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, taba alayhim liyatubu. Allah taba alayhim. He did the action of tawbah upon them, so they will have tawbah. So here's two kind of tawbah. Tawbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, and a tawbah that the servant does. Okay? The tawbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is taking you every once in a while with a way of correction, in a way of problems, in a way of sickness, in a way of fitan, in different ways, to bring you back to him. So you come back to Allah, liyatubu, so they will reach tawbah. Okay? So this is a constant with us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly will come to us with things that when it happened to us, will really come back to Allah. These two kind of a tawbah. So, you find those who, example, as one scholar was giving an example as he was explaining this name, he said, a man who is close to Allah, but argue with those who are close to Allah. Okay? Argue with different points here and there, and you know these arguments. Okay? Of a person who is putting doubts in things. And then his daughter got sick, very sick. And he took her to the best of doctors, the best of hospitals. And they finally told him that the sickness, which is it's a high temperature for some reason, that she has, it is every like, one in maybe 10,000 would have it, okay, and that's it. And your daughter has it. Okay? The story goes that he, because of that, he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, because of that, he made the ghusl and prayed to Allah and cried in his prayer. Okay. You know, and making dua, so Allah would forgive him, and Allah would cure his daughter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the cure, and she was fine. Point being is that all of us can visit that. All of us, we have a story we can tell. All of us, we were weak one time or another, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to us something to wake us up, to make us alert, to bring us to him, because he is a tawwab. Taba alayhim liyatubu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wallahu yuridu an yatuba alayhim wa yuridu alladhina yattabi'una ash-shahawati an yatuba alaykum. ويريد الذين يتبعون الشهوات ويريد الذين يتبعون أن تميلوا ميلا عظيما. والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم ويريد الذين يتبعون الشهوات أن تميلوا ميلا عظيما. Allah wants to have tawbah, have you come to him, and he's coming to you to come to him. He is tawwab, so you could reach tawbah. But those who are following desires, they would like for you to go to one side so much. تَمِيلُ مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Okay? المَيْل is to, you are in the middle. مَيْل is to go to one side. So following desires, those who follow their desires, they want to bring you and take you to go crooked in a way. Okay? So, here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping you to come to him and testing you and putting you through trials so you come to him. But there are shayateen and there are those who follow their desires. They're trying to get you to be crooked, to go on one side too much. So it is work that we must do. We must have that in us. That says that the intention to say, this is from Allah, and I want to go back to Allah. Now, there are those who are practicing tawbah and going back to Allah without being in trials. That is the best relationship. See, a believer who goes to Allah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in a trial to bring him to him. That is the beautiful relationship. Because now that's a relationship of someone who's already awakened. He is already awakened. Already in a state of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Allah loves us so much, so he put us in trial. He is a tawwab, so we can come to him. Okay? But there are some who are so much in love with Allah, they will come to Allah without that trial. Let me give you an example that I experienced myself. With a couple of young sisters, little girls, I was shocked with their response to me when I was asking them something. I was asking them, they were in a Muslim school, for many years, and then they left the Muslim school and they went to regular schools. And after a year in the regular schools, they were coming to me, you know, for halaqat and stuff. So I asked him, how's the public school? He said, okay, we're good, we like it, it's okay. I said, okay, so what is it of trying to get them to tell me something, you know, for me to learn and to see, you know, maybe it will give me something that I can use and enlightenment, because they have the experience. And they are little, so they can tell me, you know, directly what they feel and so forth. So they said, I said, what is the difference? What do you think? They said, well, public school care more. I was shocked. Public school care more? Please explain this one to me. Okay? I said, please tell me, what do you mean they care more? You know, the Muslim school or the sisters they were teaching, or all the brothers, and we all care about you and all of this. And tell me that public school care more? They said, yes. I said, what do you mean? And here they said this, amazing. They said, well, public schools put rules, and we break the rules, we are punished, and we're right back into the straight. The Muslim schools, they are taking it easy too much. They don't enforce anything. Subhanallah, okay? I'm talking about two little girls. I can tell you your names and you will recognize them, okay? Okay? But that was the point. And this is the point we're talking about, okay? You know, when you deal with your children in a way of punishment and reward and all of that, we think we're being too tough. They will love us more and respect us more, okay? And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in hardship that you come to him crying, making sujood, repenting to him. And you love, the relationship with love is higher and higher. But those will be coming to Allah, making sujood, crying, without being in trial. That is the best. And after you come to Allah, Allah will put them through trials. Why? They already come into Allah, and Allah put them through trials and make it difficult on them. Okay? And they are purified so much that they are pleased with what's happening to them. Okay? You cannot get any higher than that. Okay? Now they are pleased with what's happening to them because it is from Allah, and that's all what they care about. See? See, the first one is the one that when they go through trials, Allah wants them to come to Him. So they come to Allah, and now they are crying, now they are repenting. That's a lower relationship. But now they are in the path. Okay? Because now they appreciate what Allah is doing, and they love Allah for the love that He has for them, that He showed to them. Okay? But the others, they come to Allah and they love Allah without going through a trial. And now Allah puts them through a trial and they are in such a high level of iman. They say, this is from Allah, all from Allah, and this is good. That is a high. Ayyub alayhi salam, Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. I was going to say the word that you don't like. He knows what I'm talking about. did he complain about his sickness? He did not. For a long period of time, his wife finally, why don't you ask Allah? And what did he say? What did the dua of Sayyidina Ayyub? Inna masani al-dur wa anta arhamar rahimin. Harm come to me and you're the most merciful, ya Allah. It's done. Quick, done. Okay? Can we make dua Allah and ask Him and cry? And so yes, we can. Allah is the most compassionate. But we cannot ask from a point of complaint. Okay? We can complain and actually say the word complain. Okay? But not in a way of dissatisfaction. In a way of presenting our weakness. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say when he came out of a ta'if? He came out of a ta'if after they threw him with stones and so forth. He said, Rabbi, ashku ilayka qillata hilati. Okay? I complain to you, Allah, about the lack of means that I have. Okay? Wa da'fu quwwati. And the weakness, the strength that I have, it's very weak. I don't have much strength. I'm very weak. وَهَوَانِ عَلَى النَّاسِ. And what the people are, you know, the humiliation that the people are dealing me with. And Rasulullah said, أَشْكُو, I complain to you this. This is not a complaint of rejection or dislike. It's a complaint of submission and surrender. Okay? Because at the end, what did Rasulullah say? If this is happening, not because an anger that you have on me, Allah, I don't care. That is the issue. The point is, it is not happening because, see, this is the at-tawwab, right? Muhammad is saying, what I care about is, this is not happening to me because of something that I did was wrong. Okay? If it is happening to me, there is no problem. But if it happens because something wrong that I have done, that is what I'm scared of. This is something that I'm worried about. But it is happening because it is your will, ya Allah, and not because of something I have done, then la ubali, I don't care. I don't care. That is the difference between, okay, someone coming to Allah because he has to come to Allah. See, Allah will grab you to Him. So you better come walking yourself. Okay? Allah will force you to Him. So you better come to Him walking without being forced. Okay? And all of us experience that. All of us experience that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a tawwab that deals with us in a high level of compassion and love so we can come to Him, surrender into Him. But when we become those who constantly come into Him, and it takes a lot of work, that is the pleasure that we're going to be, or the level of hub, of love, and pleasure that we're going to be in. So everything that happens to us is happening to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how could we complain about something that is happening to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It must be good, because Allah is all good. There is no absolute evil that exists. But we have the ultimate problem that we could have, that if we follow our desires so much and follow shaitan so much, that we'll have the illusion that we are doing okay. Okay? And if that feeling prolongs, then we truly are miserable. Truly, when we're going to fall, we'll fall real hard. Adam alayhi salam, he listened to shaitan. Even though Allah said to him, Hada, this one. Hada is, in Arabic we say, ismi ishara lil qarib, right? It's to indicate for something that is near. Okay? Aduun laka wa li zawjik. Hada, this one right here, is your enemy and the enemy of your wife. Allah tell Adam alayhi salam that. Okay? فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. So do not allow him to take you out of Jannah, because you, Adam, going to have a hard time. Do you want any more explanation than that? Any more clarity than that? And then shaitan came and made waswasa and gave that illusion to Adam alayhi salam that getting near the tree is something that is good and it will bring him good things. Okay? And worked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he went to them a few times. Did not happen right away. Finally, Adam alayhi salam and his spouse broke down, if you will, or were tempted and got close to it. But now we are all going to go through this. Okay? But when Adam alayhi salam ate, and his wife ate, بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَتَفِقَ يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهُمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. Their private parts shown, and they went to cover themselves with the leaves of Jannah and so forth. And they repented to Allah. They repented, immediately repented to Allah. Okay? So now we are going through this cycle in this life. Okay? The same experience that Adam alayhi salam went through. Okay? That we will fall, okay, and then we go back to Allah and repent to Allah. But we will fall and maybe continue and sort of become blind. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wake us up by He is at-tawwab. So if the time between, if there is a time after committing a sin or a disobedient or whatever kind it is of a disobedient, if there is a time that person goes through and continue in this without repenting quickly, if we are genuinely good from the inside, Allah, because Allah loves us, will wake us up with some punishment and something hard that will come to us to bring us to Him. And those who are truly miserable, that the one that Allah will not do this for them. So the one who's truly miserable is the one that will not go through difficult time. And he's going astray. Allah, because Allah dislikes him, because their intention is bad, because of whatever reasons, Allah will leave them as they are, will not wake them up. But what they will follow the promise of shaitan. The promise of shaitan. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And what shaitan promised them is nothing but falsity, if you will. Okay? غرور is something that you look at and you perceive it as something, but when you experience it, you find it something completely opposite. So they are the one who will seek the pleasure of this life, seek to accumulate in this life. And Adam alayhi salam was told two things by shaitan. شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. This is the tree of eternity, and ownership will never go away. Okay? And you find those who are going on that path that Allah has not bring them back to His path, that went way in the way of shaitan, you find them in this. They want more power. They want more wealth. They want more. And shaitan promises them that this is will give them and makes them happy. And eventually you will be happy. Just keep accumulating and keep getting. And they will use others as well if they are very close to shaitan. Okay? Shaitan will use them as agents. Okay? And they will be shayateen al-ins, the shayateen of mankind. Okay? And also living forever, lust, and so forth. And thinking constantly of what are you going to do later on? What is the plan for tomorrow? What is the plan for next year? 10 years from now, what I'm going to do and what I'm going to accumulate? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us, told us that we grow older, but this feeling grow younger with us. So you find those who are old, in olden age, they start planning for the long term. Okay? The older they get, if they are going astray, the longer of terms that they go into. I was talking with someone a while back, and he's very sick. Age is showed on him so much. And he's went through a couple of surgeries. And, you know, barely can, you know, move here and there and so forth. So I was talking to him and trying to, you know, talk to him in a way of you know, giving da'wah and in a soft da'wah and so forth. So I tried to give da'wah to him by asking him to give me da'wah, right? So I'm telling, you know, mashallah, you're older than me, you're this and that, you lived long and so forth. And I'm sure you have wise things to tell me, right? So could you advise me with something? Okay. And this is one of the things that he said. He said, I adopt in my life a way, you know, that is wisdom. I don't know if it's a hadith or not. I'm not sure, he said. He said, work for your life as you're going to live forever, and work for your hereafter as you go, your hereafter as you're going to die tomorrow. Okay? And, huh? Yeah. Okay. And he might die tomorrow. You understand? He might die tomorrow. And he's this is the advice that he's given. Okay? So what I'm saying is the facts are to him is very clear to everyone, right? But because of whatever reason may Allah guide us all, this is his thinking. Okay? That there's still a room to think that you're going to live forever and do for that work. I mean, if you, of course, I told him that was not a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? Okay? But it is a word of wisdom. If you think about it this way, if you think about it that you going to die tomorrow, but you have a life to do the work so to be ready for death. Okay? So you have life and you have death. And the life that you have is good because you can, you know, put a lot of seeds for death. And if you go into that tomorrow, therefore you want to put as much seed as possible today. And if you have another day, you thank Allah for another day, but because you're going to have another chance to put more seeds for tomorrow, which the day that you're going to die, and so forth and so on. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who come to Allah without being tested. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those who, even when we are tested, when we come to Allah without a test, and we are tested and going through difficulties, may Allah put in our heart the feeling of acceptance of this test and knowing that it is good and it is not bad. Insha'Allah, I know Brother Lu'ay is not here today. He was always the first speaker. And we did not get the other microphone. Okay, inshallah, then you move your the this. Let me go get on the other one. Go ahead. I'll go get the other one.
Speak. I have to think about what to say. I am thinking right now. If anybody has already has something to say, anybody already has ready to something to say, I will think of. I had a hadith in my head that I was thinking to say, but I forgot it, so it will come back.
About any sense? About what?
Okay.
God. Then. The one who speaks, open the door.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm not sure if this was a hadith, but I've read it off the book. I'm sure it should be close to a hadith.
Is a hadith or not? There's nothing close.
No, I meant like the things that I'm going to say, it might not be like 100% word to word of the hadith, but
okay.
Like the summary of it that I could remember, inshallah. I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the ones that who love me more, who come to me closer, I will test them more so that they will gain more. Am I remember it right? Or I'm not sure, but this is what I read. But
those who will be tested more and going through fit and difficulties
are the ones
that closer to Allah than the one that's lower and lower. So you'll find the difficulties with the messengers and the prophets of Allah the most, and then the one who follows their footsteps and on and on.
Was this a hadith or I wasn't?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it fitted our halakha today.
Yes.
So I guess the point is that when we have troubles, we should thank Allah that we have troubles so we can gain something out of it instead of saying, why do good people have bad things coming to them? Because when we say that, we're actually, this is a, you know, basically a hadith that good people, if something is happening to you, that means Allah is caring for you so that Allah wants you back in track, and we should never complain about situations.
And we don't know what is good.
Yeah, okay? We don't know.
But we know what is bad.
Yeah.
The only thing that is bad is when we are not happy with what's happening to us. That's the only time you are in the losing path, when you are not happy with what you have, even if it's difficulties. Okay, so you are a loser, and harm happens when you say, "Oof." Okay. Yes.
there is another hadith. Again, I have to follow
the sunnah.
My predecessor, yeah, his sunnah. That now I'm not sure exactly the word of either hadith or that the person who never went through any trouble or hardship, there is a problem with that person that maybe Allah is not radi with him.
Yeah.
So it,
yes, at one time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting and one said, Ya Rasulullah, ashku, and I complain about, and he said a word. He said a word. And one who was sitting, he said, what is that? The word meaning headache. Okay, so he said, what is that? Meaning like, what does it feel like? You know, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah tasda. Didn't you get a headache? He said, no, never did. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man la yasda fa huwa shaytan. The one who does not get the headache is shaytan.
There's a saying about the mu'min that when he has a hard time, he does sabr.
Yes.
And when he got good things, he gets shukr.
Yes.
So he's happy in both ways. And
and there is a scholar who said that he was talking to someone he asked him, he said, how are your people, how is everything? He said, we are very good, very, very good. Our people, when they are given good things, they thank Allah. And when they have bad things, they practice patience. He said, that is the condition of the dogs that we have. See what you mean? He said, here is the dog. If he's, if you give him, he's happy and thankful. If you don't give him, what he's going to do? He just sit there, be patient. But he said, no. We are the one who, when we are not giving and going through difficulty, we thank. but the hadith is sound, yes, and that meaning sound, okay, because being patient and being thankful too, okay. But he was a wise man. He was making that comment, that saying that we need to go a little bit deeper here, If what else you going to do? You're going to be patient when difficulty comes to you. If you're not going to complain, you're being patient. But you need to go beyond not complaining with thanking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanking Allah for the ability that Allah has given you to be patient.
To be patient.
Yes.
Also the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hikmah that some scholar mentioned that he gives person according to his ability. Like if somebody is given wealth, he's able to handle the wealth. Yes. I mean, and shukr, and maybe that's better for him. Mm-hmm. Allah Ta'ala knows that he can handle it better. But a poor person, maybe if he got the wealth, he could have gone astray. Or
right, yes.
Like in English they said, he gives not what you desire, he gives what you deserve.
And for the believer, Allah gives what keeps him straight. And takes away from them what take them astray.
Another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know whether it is hadith Qudsi, but it says that when you go through hard time, look upon your own deeds and ask for my forgiveness. And when you have happiness, thank to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of, or the companions of Uhud.
Okay.
Companion of Uhud. Afterwards, they said, "Anna hadha." Where did this come from? How could that be? Okay.
Yeah.
Meaning, they did not expect that. This loss after Badr, after the promise and so forth, they did not expect that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. This is from you. This is from you, because of you. Yes.
They oversee the instructions from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. They disobeyed.
When he said, take care of that corner.
Right.
But instead they started jumping on the ghanima.
Yes. And if you go through the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Battle of Uhud, ayah after another, after another, after another, and then Allah stops and talk about riba. Okay? Yes. And then finish riba and then come back to the ayat of describing what happened in the battle. Okay? Here is riba is right put right in the middle of there. And what is riba? Is going after a prophet that is unlawful. Okay, and this is what happened to them. They looked at the spoils of war. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them not to leave. Uh-huh. And they went after dunya, went to get something that should not, they should not be getting. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salamu
alaykum. Is it on?
Yes.
Speak louder in the mic, okay. I just wanted to add that and sort of summarize that we're talking about Qadr being satisfied with the Qadr of Allah, because Allah is the Ahkum al-Hakimin, and he's the wisest, he has control of everything, and he's already determined what's going to happen before it happens. So whatever trials we get is with his hikmah and in his mercy, and it's the Qadr, basically. We should be satisfied with his Qadr no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And yes. We should seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our deeds. And shururi anfusina.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allah khair.
Let me see one thing then.
Okay, go ahead.
There was one thing by a scholar that people who have repented have more tender hearts and they're more closer than who haven't gone through that.
Yeah. Those who are used to be sinners
right.
have that more tender heart than those who are used to obedience.
Right.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. My question is regarding some people who expose their sin. It is like there's a sect in Hyderabad, India. Many people know about it. They are the Mahdi people. They select a leader. They call him Murshid. They go to the Murshid. They confess all his sins like Catholic.
SubhanAllah.
And then, confession. Besides, this is one aspect. And the second aspect is about people who are not sure about their sin. Then they say, I'm not sure about this. Like a lady from the Bani Israel, she went to Musa alayhi salam and she asked him, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he had forgiven me. So he asked, and I don't know if this is hadith or you know, I just heard it from traditional stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, yes, I have forgiven. And then she asked again, you know, I'm not sure if this has really happened. So he asked again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, I have forgiven. Then she said, you know, now I'll tell you what I did, and then go ask him if he had forgiven. And she told her the story of a very shameful thing that she did with her son. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replied, no, because this is now open, I don't forgive you now. Now, first of all, I don't know if the story is through hadith or a made-up story. Please make some comments.
Well, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not to confess or bring the sin into the open. Okay. See, those who will do so, one of two things. Either they are They don't care, they have a dead heart, and they want to boast of what they have done and so forth and so on. They don't even consider it a sin, they don't care. Okay, or they bring it out so you could seek repentance, okay, somehow. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came to him trying to confess that he committed adultery, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam avoided listening to him when he realized what he was about to say and turned away from him. And then he comes around the other side, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to keep him away so he does not say anything. And even in some narrations said, look at what's wrong with your brother. Like take him away. Okay? Because once it is confessed, then the penalty has to be applied.
I don't know whether it's Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, somebody came to him, tried to confess, and Sayyidina Umar said, before you confessed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have forgiven you, but now you made another witness of the sin. Mm-hmm. I am the witness. Mm-hmm. So it's up to him either he forgives you or not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once the same man confessed the sin and said it, then he had to be stoned to death. Yeah. He had to be stoned to death. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam afterwards, he heard two brothers, two sahaba, one talking to the other, said, look at him. If he, looking at the body after he died, said, look at him. If he would have kept it to himself, okay, nobody would have known, and then it would have been okay. But now he's dying like a dog. Okay? Then Rasulullah ﷺ started walking, and they started walking with him, and then Muhammad ﷺ stopped. And then said, where is so and so and so and so? And he named them by name. By name. And they came. Both of them. Muhammad ﷺ said, what is this? They said, it's a corpse, a dead donkey. So he told them, eat from it. Said, ya Rasulullah, who would eat from a dead donkey? Muhammad ﷺ said, you have eaten something worse than that. You have eaten something worse than that, the flesh of your brother. The flesh of your brother. And by Allah, I am looking at him now in Jannah, and he is swimming in the rivers of Jannah. So Allah has forgiven him. Okay? Now, the scary thing is, of course the whole thing is scary, but the scariest thing is, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked to both of them equal, even though only one of them spoke. But the other one listened and did not make any comment. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, both of you eat, because both of you committed this. And only one of them heard, did not say anything.
I understand.
Yeah.
The one who did not say anything.
Yes.
Stopped.
Yes. Yes.
Any comment.
Okay. Subhanak Allahumma wa hamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakum Allah khayran.